Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ahoy! Well, this is Norman. Hold on. Wait, hold. The best part is the fan man, the new brand manager, he just left and he turns and goes, does Isaac know the show's starting? And then I heard him open the door and go, Rob, show's on.
Hey, what up?
Phone's ringing, dude. Hey.
Hey,
how's it going?
Can I blame that on someone else?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please
throw someone under the bus.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw that one onto Dusty's.
Oh, that's on the fan man?
Dusty's mighty shoulders.
Isn't he the one that just told you that the show was on?
Yeah, but that was too little, too late. I asked Dusty, our fearless leader.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Thursday.
Is he the fan man or is he the brand man?
The brand man.
He's now officially
the brand man.
Okay.
And I asked him for more Clorox wipes because we got a bunch of gross people in here.
Now, to be fair, I do remember that request.
Yeah. Yeah. You heard it.
Yeah.
Well, there are no Clorox wipes
no,
in
there
a
are
stunning
not.
Turn of events.
Did and you so, really think there was going to be Clorox wipes?
Yeah, I have faith in our new leader.
So you thought over the weekend he was going to remember that and
yes.
go out to Costco and buy those?
Well, yeah, I did. Wow, I don't care
foolish.
How he does it.
That's foolish on your
but
part.
But I have faith in Dusty. I think that Dusty was a good hire, but what I'm learning is perhaps he was not.
Mm, because of the Clorox wipes.
You know?
You found a hole in his game.
Well, a big one.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, to you, like, this is like the same thing with like in politics. Everyone has one or two issues that they vote on.
Correct.
And if you, like, if you're a cop or maybe you're a law and order guy, right? Or maybe it's abortion, whatever it is.
Abortion.
So, well, like, that may be a deal breaker for you, right? Like, no matter what, like, that whatever, whoever is for or against you on that matter, you're going to go. So we found that your abortion.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Is Clorox wipes.
Well, everybody's sick this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And a lot of our guys
Patrick
have...
Patrick was wheezing today,
I know.
And he sits in your
he's
seat.
He's been sick for a week, two
yeah.
weeks.
I heard he's got the HIV.
And they've all got gross kids and mm-hmm. snot-nosed rat-fart kids, and
it's
they all
true.
Just went out for Halloween. And,
yep.
You know, so I just try to, I just try to wipe things down in here. It's yeah. all I'm asking to yeah. do. And, yeah. of course, can't even do that. So
no
now,
good.
As I'm typing on the computer here to get set up for the program, mm-hmm. I'm probably catching COVID.
So why exactly?
And I blame Dusty.
So exactly. I'm still, I followed the logic.
Yeah.
But why is it Dusty's fault that you weren't aware that the show was starting?
Oh, well, it's not. It's just, I have to blame some. I mean, I can't blame myself.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never my fault.
No, I just was wondering what about the Clorox wipes led you to be late?
Because I went to look for them in the other studs.
Oh,
I was
okay.
going to steal them from
okay.
the other studs because I know the other studs usually have them.
I see.
But even the other studs don't have them.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year, man. The little less heads, as someone says here.
Yeah, now we got Halloween candy in here.
Yeah, there's a big bag of Halloween. I'm assuming that's a Sprague thing, right?
I don't know.
But see,
no
this
idea.
Doesn't look like kids' Halloween candy. This looks like someone went to hand out Halloween candy, and this is, like, no one came.
Yeah, that's a good bag of candy. I'm
yeah.
not going to lie. There's M&M's. There's mm-hmm. both types of M&M's. There's
yeah.
Snickers. There's Reese's. There's Milky Way.
The Haribo gummy bear, which is the gummy bear of record.
Bro, that's good candy right
there.
That's
solid.
And you know what? That's also a smart move by whoever did that,
mm-hmm.
because we all know when that's at home.
You'll eat it.
Yeah, you're yeah. going to eat it, and so it's easier to yeah. just drop it off.
Yeah.
In a place like this where it will slowly...
It'll just get picked.
It will just die a slow, painful death.
Because there's nothing worse than... Well, I mean, we all lie to ourselves.
Yes.
And there's nothing worse than the, oh, well, it's just, it's yeah. it's one fun-sized candy bar. Right. Yeah, but when you eat eight of them over the course of a day, it ceases to become fun-sized, and now it's just fat-ass
size. So there's a bag, how big would you say that bag of candy is right
I'm going to say there's probably 50 to 65 pieces of candy in that bag.
How long would that last at your house?
I bet you, because there's not many, the Oren doesn't really eat candy, so it's me and the BTJ, so it's mostly going to be me. I'll bet you that lasts a month, but over the course of that month, I will eat every single piece of that candy, which again is another lie. You're like, well, I spread it out over a month, so what's, I'm still eating 65 pieces of candy that I don't need to eat.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
And yes, it would mostly be me.
Yeah.
So now it'll be 3 weeks to a month in here, and it'll mostly be me.
Well, you know, the morning show will pick at it.
I hope so.
Danny's got his little chubbies in there that'll be grabbing some some handfuls. It all happens.
Keep it away from Schultzy in there.
Yeah, Schultzy will be in there licking Schultzy. His lips on that. Yeah. Look, no one Schultzy. Here is strong enough to not eat a bag of candy.
Give me the strongest person in the world. Shohei Ohtani would eat that bag of candy.
Literally bought a bag of Butterfingers because they were on discount at Freddy's after Halloween. So I added more. So
yeah, they're so cheap you can't afford
it's like
not
a
to
buck
buy.
49
yes!
a bag.
Yeah, of course I'm going to buy those.
By the way, speaking of Butterfingers, I had a bit of a weekend, and I can confirm the rumor of if you take a Coors Banquet and you mix it about 1-to-1 with Diet Coke, it tastes like a Butterfinger.
Yeah,
yeah. Which again, I shouldn't have known that. That's not information I need because there usually is Diet Coke and Banquets at my house, and I'm telling you. It's delightful. It really is. That was one of those things where I was like, well, Dr. Suki is going into the lab and we're going to do some experimenting. And it turns out I just discovered penicillin because it is fantastic.
Why do you need to cut beer?
Well, you don't really need
to cut.
It's
a light beer.
Well, no, the Banquet is a heavy beer. It's not a light beer.
I mean,
we're not drinking Coors
it's
Light.
It's a heavy light beer.
It's a heavy light beer. I'm just saying. It becomes doubly, it turns from a beer into like a sweet, sweet treat is what it does. It's got a whole different, it's a whole different vibe to it. And I didn't believe that it would taste like a Butterfinger. I was like, dude, that's not, and then you drink it and you're like, it kind of tastes like a Butterfinger.
So is it on, it's not on ice.
You can put it on ice if you want.
So Diet Coke.
Diet Coke and Coors.
Coors Banquet.
Yeah.
50-50.
Yeah. I was playing around with the ratios. And, you know, it's varying degrees, but I found the one to me that was the most Butterfingery was simply just 50-50. And, yeah, it wasn't on ice.
Gross.
But, yeah, little Diet Coke, little Coors, and next thing you know, kind of feels like you're drinking a fizzy Butterfinger.
Do you drink Diet Coke?
Yeah, I'll drink
Diet. Do you have Diet Coke?
I do.
At the house?
Well, a lot of times it's a Coke Zero, but yeah, there's...
Please don't drink the Diet. Drink the Coke Zero.
Why?
Because this... Whatever stevia is good for you. The like actual plant-based sugars are good for you. Splenda, Sweet and Low, all those artificial aspartame is the name of what they put in diet.
So wait, you're telling me that
stuff gives you cancer?
Everything gives you cancer.
Well, that's why I don't drink any of them. But the Coke Zero you're saying is fine. Like it's better than
I don't know.
It is better for you
because I just assume it's all crap
than diet soda. Yes,
I look. None of it's good. Everything's gonna kill you.
Yeah.
I don't care. Once a day,
Zero's bad too. Never mind.
Yeah,
aspartame as well.
It's all bad.
This is my one. Like I don't drink soda very often, but if I'm sitting down for a meal at the end of the day, that is usually I usually pop a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero. If you really want to know, the vanilla Coke Zero, that's elite. That is a tasty
beverage.
I've
had it.
Love it. I'll pop one of those. I have it with my meal, and I'm not one of those guys that drinks, you know, 9 Diet Cokes a day, but I usually do allow myself one, and it's not every day, but they're delightful. So I happen to have some Diet Coke. There's always a Banquet around my house, and I thought, hey, what the hell, man? What else am I doing on a Saturday afternoon? Let's do a little mix and matching, and I'm here to tell you, it's delightful.
Someone asked on the text line, what is the most irresistible thing to have sitting around the office? Candy, donuts, pizza, or jerky?
Well, the most diabolical is candy because it lasts. Pizza and certainly donuts, there's an expiration to that. So that's kind of a mad rush. So if you can avoid the pizza or the donut for like 6 hours, you're fine. But whereas the jerky will never last. That'll be gone because that's worth its weight in gold. So that's silly. And that's just protein. The diabolical one is candy. It will be there for a month and you will eat a piece of it every day for a month. So candy's the worst.
I'm going to go, I get what you're saying, but I think his point is less technical and more just whimsical.
What's the best? Yeah.
And it's pizza.
Pizza.
It's pizza. Yes.
I'll go donuts. I feel like it's just easy to grab one of those at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day.
Or just cut off a little sliver.
Just have it. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But you can do that with pizza too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if I walk through.
I cannot resist pizza.
No.
I can resist donuts.
Yeah.
I can resist candy.
Yeah.
I cannot resist pizza.
No. I can shrug off. A donut's no problem to shrug it off. That's just, you just look at it and you're like, oh, that's gross. Get out of here. Chances are it's been sitting around. Candy you may dismiss for a while, but you'll come back, but it's minor. You walk through and there's a pizza sitting in there. I don't care if I just ate. I'm having a slice.
Yeah, now, is it hot or cold? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. It's all pizza. Right.
It doesn't matter. You assume that because it's sitting there, it's fine to eat.
Yeah.
Now, if you've seen it 2 days in a row, enter at your own risk.
Follow me on this. Went to the Blazer game on, is that Friday? When did they play the Nuggets? Yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, Friday night.
Friday night.
Go Zers.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, they're about to be 5-2 because the Lakers, no LeBron, no Luka, no Austin Reeves. So the Lakers are about to go down.
Do they have any white guys left?
Yeah, they got that one white guy, number 12, that no one knows who he is. You haven't seen that?
No.
Yeah, like someone got caught from the stands yelling, who the hell is 12? And Anthony Edwards was on the sidelines being like, who is that guy? No one knows who he is. He's just some random white guy, number 12. Couldn't tell you. Anywho, I'm at the Blazer game, and the BTJ's company, they've got a suite, but it's not like an individual suite. I don't know if you've been up there now where like, it's just a big area, so you have like a 4-pack.
Jake LaRavia. Hey, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
13-5.
Who the hell is that guy?
He went to Wake Forest,
and he's embracing it too. He goes, "Yeah, why would anyone know who I am?" So
Anthony Edwards said he didn't know who he was.
Yes,
he was drafted by Minnesota.
He was sitting on the bench and didn't know who he was.
Look it up. He plays for Minnesota.
Anthony Edwards does. Yeah. Yes,
LaRavia was drafted by Minnesota.
When?
2022.
Well, Anthony Edwards didn't know who he was. He was sitting there on the bench like, who? Wouldn't that be great if he really was like at training camp with him? And he's
well,
like, what?
You know how that is. It's one team draft. Okay, so did he play for
him? Did he actually play for him?
It doesn't look like he played for
him. He had no idea who he was, which makes it, that's Memphis. Probably why that's blowing up so much.
He's been in Memphis.
That's probably why that blew up. Someone was like, dude, you guys drafted him. No idea who he was. But back to it. You have four little seats. And so you like share like it's a big common area and they have a buffet and everything. So we're eating the buffet or whatever. And the people next to us, they got a pizza. And I was all excited because I was like, there's pizza. No, they brought in a pizza from somewhere else in the building and it looked great. It smelled great. And then I was bitter that there was no pizza at the Blazer buffet suite. Those people left at like halftime. And they left the pizza on the table. You do not know how tempted I was to be that much of a fat ass and eat that leftover pizza.
Yeah, you're like the Brewers manager.
Oh, it was right there.
Scouring the halls of his hotel.
Yes.
For pocket pizza.
Yes. And believe me, I was shamed, even though
I'm with you.
Right?
I think it's fine.
They're not coming back.
We've talked about this before.
They're not coming back.
They're not coming back. It hasn't been touched. You know when it was delivered. It's fine.
It was so good.
It's going to the trash otherwise.
They're just
going to
throw it out. I don't understand why this is a thing in our country.
It is.
In our world.
A bad thing.
We need to stop with this.
I was shamed.
It's waste.
Let anybody who wants it have at it. Oh, no, that devalues the other food that's priced at $30 a slice. No, that's what they do. It's, we can't give this out because it's devaluing the other food product around our freaking stadium. Yeah.
But you didn't do it?
I didn't. Well, there was a lot of pressure on me. One, it's not,
coward.
It's not our seats. They were given to us. And here's the thing. The best thing at the buffet was meatloaf. I had my choice between meatloaf and that delicious pizza. I felt like at some point, because they were like, what if they come? They're not coming back. That
meatloaf?
Pizza is free game.
Dude, meatloaf should not be on. Like, that should.
They had a loaf.
That should be outlawed.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, they had. I'm trying to think of their little buffet. They have the hot dog, which was, you know, they just have a hot dog station. They had chili. and they had a meatloaf, I think, were the three main options. Meanwhile, these sons of bitches next to me, it was like a Hot Lips delicious, like pepperoni pizza that was sitting there unloved, unused, and at the end of the day got thrown away.
Well, this is the texture's right. Like, why do we never think of the what the pizza thinks?
Yeah.
You know, that poor pizza.
Lonely.
Yeah. It went through the oven.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there. Like, it deserves to be eaten.
Mm.
You know, what does it think?
I wanted that.
Now it says, oh, okay, I went through the oven, and now I'm just going to go in the trash?
Wasted.
Disrespect.
Yeah. I'd like to think that one of the employees took that pizza.
I know I would if I
when they
there.
Cleared it away, they were like, this is, it was better than anything else that was being offered inside that suite area.
Well, the studio is not disinfected.
No.
We blame Dusty for that. And I will be down with COVID in 4 days.
That is true. You whatever Patrick Harris has,
5 days,
you will get. By the way, this is a good point, text program. I guarantee there were others around you waiting for someone to make the first move to grab the pizza. And if you had done it, they would have joined in. I believe that to be correct.
Yeah. You're a leader.
Had I been a Lewis and Clark pioneer and grabbed that slice,
I would have been right behind you.
I would have been right behind you too.
And I didn't.
That's a bet. I mean,
it's a cowardly move on
my
part.
You have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
You can't let the BTJ.
Oh, she shamed me hard.
You can't let her do that to you. You owe it to people to lead them.
Yeah. They're ashamed.
Like a camel to water.
She acted like it was like I was eating garbage.
Oh, wait. Horse to water.
Horse to water.
Same.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing. Camels want water too.
Yeah, they do.
It was acting as if I was going to eat trash. It was not trash.
I don't get that.
It was the same box that they brought. No one had touched the other pieces of pizza. And even if they had, the people seemed lovely. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a homeless person's pizza. It's a low point in my weekend. Should have had it. I still regret it.
All right, guys. Big show.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
Huge.
Because it's Monday. Where do you want to start? I mean, I've got so many notes here, fella.
Well, I think you start with one of the best World Series of all time.
Okay. That's what I had at 3:15. It says right here. Best World Series since blank.
Which one of us was excited about and one of us crapped all over. And I'm glad that you can come around to saying that was a great World Series.
It wasn't just a great World Series.
Yeah.
That is the best World Series that I've ever seen with my own two eyes.
It's everything you could want.
And we will, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Let's go.
We got that coming up next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Best World Series since what?
Well, I think it was the highest rated one since 1996.
Ooh, that's not what I saw.
No?
Mm-mm. The story that I read said it was the highest rated since 2017 Game 7 Dodgers-Astros.
Oh, see.
I don't know about maybe full World Series.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I was looking at just one game.
Sometimes those things get chopped up. It was a monster number.
You might be talking about full World Series, which you may be right.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers-Astros Game 7 of 2017, apparently this one just beat that.
Okay.
At 26 million. I think that was just Game 7. So you're probably talking full series and I'm talking game.
And are we counting like the Canadian folks in there? Because they said that that was the most watched game ever. I mean, there's so many of these different things to chop it up. So Rogers, we talked about it. Like Rogers is the communications network up there. Everything is Rogers. And they said that was the most watched event in Rogers history, too.
He owns
the Blue Jays.
And the Leafs.
Yes, and like most
of the Raptors.
And the arena where the Vancouver Canucks play, and the Edmonton Oilers, and the Toronto Blue Jays all are either the Rogers Center or the Rogers event, you know, whatever. Yeah. Rogers is everywhere.
Rogers.
So it was a monster number. And
do you think it was watched more in the United States, Canada or Japan?
Well, us, simply from a raw numbers standpoint. Now, if you wanted to go percentage.
What do you think the percentage is in Japan?
It had to be enormous.
I mean, I bet they were all watching.
It had to be enormous.
It's Team Japan.
Well, how many people are in Canada? Let me look up and see what we're dealing
with. Guess the population of Canada.
Okay, so this
I'm going to say.
I was close on
so
this.
So what? The U.S., what are we at?
330, 340, something like that, and some change?
I bet you Canada. Total pop?
Total pop.
75 million?
No, see, I was guessing like 35. It's not that many.
Oh, it's not even that?
It's not even that.
How much is it?
It's 41 and some change.
41 million?
41 million.
Wow.
And I believe just on the on Rogers, the communication, I think they said at its peak, it was like 11.5 million people were watching Game 7. So you had
a quarter of
the whole country, according to that, we're watching. So I don't. We'd have to look and see what Japan did, but like, I mean, if you were in Canada, you saw that. So from a percentage wise, that's certainly more than us. But, you know, our sheer numbers alone, we're going to dominate that. Yeah, their average audience in Canada was 11 million people. Average 11 million. And then at the peak, at its peak, 18.5. There's 41 million people in that country. And at one point, 85, that is 45% of the population at some point was watching Game 7.
So they don't have the Japan numbers yet.
Yeah.
We will get them. But according to AI,
mm-hmm.
Game 1 in Japan drew 11.8 million on one network, which is the most watched World Series game ever in the country on a single network, and it happened despite the game airing at 9 a.m. local time. So 12 million.
Yeah.
And they have like 125 million people that live over there.
Yeah.
12 million watched Game 1.
Yeah.
So Canada at 11 million with only 41 million population is way
45% at its peak.
That's way better than Japan.
I just don't think at its peak you are going to. So you said 125
ish.
Yeah, at its peak you're not getting, you know, 60, 70 million people I would think that are watching. But Canada was all in. But I'm sure in Japan, like when we were over there, I've been over there a couple times and they do live cut-ins for like different at bats for like Otani, and there were entire news segments devoted, like a 30-minute news segment to what Otani did that day. And we were watching one at her dad's place, and he went like 0-for-4. And it didn't matter. They did a detailed breakdown of those. So the fact that you had Yamamoto, who was the MVP, you had Otani, and then you had closer.
Sasaki
in there. I can imagine that in Japan, that has to be the most watched World Series ever.
That's the best World Series I've seen. This is just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm a Royals fan, so, you know, I mean, 1985 comes to mind, but I'm a Royals fan, so that wasn't the greatest. You know, I go back to 1988, dude. Dodgers A's. Kirk Gibson.
But it wasn't, because I think that only went like five games.
But it was a huge upset. Like, I'm telling you, from my perspective, I have not been moved this much by a World Series since 1988.
Hmm.
And that includes the two that my own team went to.
Yeah.
Seriously. The Mets one obviously moved me massively because we won.
That Giants series was amazing. It just ended up on the wrong side for you guys.
I don't think it was nearly this, though. I mean, it was a good series, went seven games, but there wasn't a lot of offense in that series. Like, it was kind of boring. This was freaking phenomenal. Yeah. I just cannot, and I also think that the Canadians, and just it being in Toronto those last two games, they were just ready to explode.
Yeah.
That helped it.
Yeah.
That helped the intensity. It helped the just kind of the vibe of the whole series. But my God, that was good. It seems like 5 weeks ago, but there was an 18-inning game.
Yep.
The Otani game. I mean, dude, I don't know what more you want out of a World Series.
And it felt like multiple times, like there were.
Yeah, it was
there
over.
It was over. And even in that Game 7, which wasn't like until the end, it wasn't like the most. There was always traffic, right? Like even if there wasn't a lot of lead changes, it felt like there was. it wasn't one of those where it just was a boring ho-hum. Right. Even if guys weren't scoring, it felt like both sides always had traffic. You always felt like there was this impending, oh my God, one hit here changes everything.
No question.
And we had a couple.
The Dodgers almost lost like five times.
Yes, and we had, in the last three games, we had multiple plays, great assists from the outfield, guys getting thrown out at third, guys getting thrown out at home plate. I mean, all the bullpen stuff and the different starters coming in for both squads. And you knew it was going to happen. It was the hero of the World Series was not going to be Ohtani. It was not going to be, you know, Springer. It was going to be someone where you collectively had to go, who? What? Rojas?
Yeah. I don't know who goes down as the hero. That's the beauty of this World Series. The Dodgers had like six of them.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman was a hero. Shohei Ohtani was a hero. Yamamoto was probably the biggest hero.
Yeah.
Will Smith was a hero.
Yep.
Rojas was certainly a hero.
Yep.
Like, it's unbelievable. We are a Will Smith toe tap. A toenail of Will Smith's
yep.
from the Jays being champions.
Yes.
It's just,
yeah.
And there were like, as you mentioned, there's like 15 instances of that. Like, how about the Pajas catch that could have been that was going to be the biggest blunder in World Series history.
Yeah. You're like, you just got brought in for your defensive acumen, and you're stumbling around out there, and you almost dropped it.
You run into your little left fielder,
yep.
little Kiki out there.
Yep.
You run him over, but at least you make, I mean, that if they don't make that catch,
yeah.
The series is over, yep. the Dodgers lose, and that goes down as one of the all-time blunders.
And we had a foul ball, or we had the ball that got stuck underneath the, underneath the pad. Otherwise, you know, if that ball just caroms, it does 90 times out of 100, run score there. I mean, there's a million of those things. How many times did we see someone cut down at third or in home?
Awesome.
With a great, that Tommy Edmonds throw to third was insane. And that was, what was that? That was game six, right? That was game six, but there was a ton of those. And I just love they said that every pitcher was available other than Yamamoto. They said going into the game, everyone was available but Yamamoto. And sure enough, what's happening out there in the eighth inning, you see him out there and he's warming up and you're like, all right, well, they teased us with this one. No, he came in and what, he gave you two and a third? And, you know, there you go.
Just two.
I think it was two and a third.
Was it?
I think so.
Well, he came in with two on and one out.
Yeah.
And he beamed the first guy he faced.
Yeah.
So he was already, he came into an instant inferno.
And he got out of it.
Yeah. He got a fly ball a ground out and a fly ball.
Did you also see that apparently he's stooping Sabrina Carpenter as well?
What?
Everything's coming up Yamamoto.
Yeah, I agree with Schultzy. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No. Are you serious, Clark? Multiple reports, Yamamoto and little 4'11" Sabrina Carpenter, apparently.
What?
Doing things.
What?
Doing things to each other.
Good for him.
Everything is Yamamoto.
Did you hear that the Dodgers are going to bat him cleanup next year?
It's just the 1-2 punch. I mean, it's that series had everything. And I hate to admit this.
Let's put a pin in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. But finish your thought. But I was going to say, let's put a pin in it and we'll come back. I want to talk about Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Because I was comparing him to Mad Bum, that
Mad
Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
Mad Bum, yeah, that
two
guy.
And two thirds, by the way, for Yamamoto in that.
Two and two thirds. I was comparing him. I was wondering, was that even more impressive than what Mad Bum did?
Yeah.
And I've got some interesting numbers.
Okay.
We'll compare. But anyway, go ahead.
I hate to admit this because they eliminated my beloved Mets last year. They are the new evil empire. And I love my brother into the north. I love Canada. I support Canada. I can't help it. When push came to shove at the end, I think I was secretly pulling for the Dodgers.
Yeah. They're really unhateable.
Yeah. I just,
that pains me because we should hate them.
Yeah.
A lot of the Yankees.
Yeah.
But
and I know I've been bullied into it by the BTJ because I'm not allowed to root.
No,
for against,
there's a lot of people. It's not it. There's just the Japanese guys.
Yeah,
I think it's that the Japanese guys they're like the opposite of cocky.
Yes,
you know they
just
you
like,
can tell they love the game.
Yeah.
They respect the game. they're great at it and they're humble.
Yeah.
And because of that, and then you have veterans like Freddie Freeman, who's unhateable.
Mookie Betts is great.
Unhateable.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody punchable on that whole team. Yeah. Because of that.
Where's Jesse Winker? Because I can hate that.
You can't hate the Dodgers.
No. And I was pulling for the Blue Jays, and there was something inside me as I was watching that go down. I was like, good for the Dodgers. And I don't want to. I don't want to
I know
what happened.
You shouldn't, and I don't either. But I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like the Dodgers, it's Team Japan, and they're delightful.
Yeah,
they just are.
They are,
and they have a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah,
which I've never seen anything like that in baseball. Yeah. Like, and this is why I thought the Dodgers would win the series. Is like, dude, look at their lineup. Look at their rotation. They have so many dudes who just, when push comes to shove, they're just legendary.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think it would be this dramatic, but that ended up being true. Like, if any one of Will Smith, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Freeman, Rojas, even though he's not a star, if any one of those guys don't do what they did, the Dodgers lose that series. Like, they needed every bit of every one of those dudes to step up. And they did.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Truly incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
It was awesome.
And they are a dynasty.
Yeah.
They've won three titles in 6 years.
I look back when you said that's the best World Series. I remember the Twins when I was a kid. I remember that one being amazing. I remember the 86 Mets. To me, when the Cubs won over the Indians, that was incredible. I mean, this will go down in one of those that, you know, I will always remember. This will be one of the most memorable World Series of my lifetime.
All right, we'll come back and put a bow on the 2025 World Series. Our Dodgers.
Our team, Japan.
Team Japan.
Yeah.
We will do that coming up next. But first, Schulte.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are wrapping up the World Series, where Team Japan knocked off Team Canada.
World Baseball Classic style.
Yeah, it was really one for the ages. It was just amazing.
It was great.
And just a quick ratings note.
Mm-hmm.
Of notable notation, the 26 million viewers, the rating of Game 7,
mm-hmm.
was the highest since Dodgers-Astros Game 7 in 2017. And for comparison, Pacers-Thunder Game 7 got 16.6 million earlier this year.
Suck it, NBA.
So baseball, for its biggest of games and most interesting of games, it's getting up there into NFL territory.
Well, yeah. I mean, 26 million, I mean, that's better than, it's not going to be NFL playoffs, but that's going to beat most Monday nights. It'll beat Thursday night. That is an NFL number. 26 million people is an NFL number.
That's huge.
Now, the sad part is the NFL does that every single week, and that takes Game 7 with the Dodgers and Blue Jays. But, yes, for once, another sport did jump up and bite at the heels of the NFL.
I wonder, too, how much the YouTube TV thing. So YouTube TV didn't have ESPN or ABC this weekend.
Yeah, crapped
and
out,
still
right.
doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. I mean, they're fighting.
They're fighting. So I'm saying it's like if you had that,
you did not watch football.
But
so I wonder if that got some eyeballs that would have been watching football over to Fox to watch the baseball
game. You imagine if that had been if ESPN had the World Series, that
unbelievable.
That would have been bad.
Really bad.
Been really, really, really bad.
Well, I'm hoping that feud ends soon.
And now, I have not heard this. I didn't get a chance. I was running around this morning. I did not get a chance to listen to my favorite morning show. Multiple sources are in saying that Jason Swigard, supposed Dodger fan, did not watch.
He went to the Timbers game. I saw that on the text line. Can I make a confession?
Oh, my God. You didn't watch either.
Well, I did watch it.
What are you doing?
Well, I went to dinner. I had a dinner.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I didn't know there was going to be a Game 7 of the World Series, so I had to go to dinner.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there at the table. We were checking the,
yeah.
I mean, my phone was blowing up.
Yeah.
And my buddy's like, well, what's the score? And I'm like, well, it looks like it's 5-4. And then, you know, it's like, I had to watch it after. I did not watch it live.
Wow.
I had to watch it after.
Oh, my goodness.
When I got home. Yeah. And believe me, sitting there at the table, I felt major FOMO.
Huh.
Because I did feel like that was one game that everyone was watching at the same time.
By the way, I don't think Swag is a Dodger fan. I don't believe it. I try not to be a gatekeeper of fandoms and all that. You do you, but
how could you do that?
That's cowardice. And I love Swigard, but he punted on the Cowboys. He renounced his Cowboy fanship. He claims to be a Dodger fan. He loves to give me crap when the Dodgers do something and the Mets don't. And you're telling me Game 7, you went to the Timbers? By the way, I don't have a dog in the fight. I went to both. I went to a bar, started watching the World Series and drinking. We left in about the fourth inning, ran over to the Timbers because we were drinking at a bar right by there, ran over to the Timbers, watched about half of the Timbers game, left before it went into extras because we were like, no, we have to get, and we were watching the phone. We were watching the game on our phone. And we had a bunch of people gathered around us because we had the stream up. And we were like, we're watching the game, not the soccer game. Left, missed the Timbers comeback, got back to the bar that we were originally drinking at to catch the final two and a half innings of the baseball game. And I'm not a Dodger fan. And you're telling me that Jason Swigard, supposed lifelong Dodger fan, didn't watch Game 7 and he went to the Timbers? You're not a fan. You're a coward. That's a fake fan. That's pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic for you as a fan to do that.
Well, I'm not here to judge.
I am.
I can tell.
That's pathetic.
I just know that I really wanted to be watching that game.
If you're telling me...
No chance.
The Royals went Game 7.
No chance I would go to anything other than sit on my couch and have everyone leave me alone.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Seven. Yeah,
that's pathetic. So. And by the way, that's one of those because you're not... Like, same thing. If that was my team, I would have been at home. But watching it at a crowded bar, this is another reason why I love bars. Man, we had a bunch of Dodger fans in there. We had a bunch of Blue Jay fans in there. The bar was packed, standing room only, right? Everyone's crowded around. And the number of times just that place erupted. And then when the ground ball got hit that went into the double play, dude, beer was flying because people stood up and like had drinks in their hands. And it was just one of those, you could see the haze of beer just flying across the room. That's what, a great bar moment.
Yeah. I mean, but you never see the problem with it. And this does not exonerate Swigard at all because he is a Dodger fan.
No, he's not.
As a Dodger fan, you just have to change your plans.
Yeah.
But to your point about those moments, and we get these, you know, the where were you when moments, like these great sports moments that.
Yeah.
It's like you were gone, but we were talking about how in the Huskies were playing the Rutgers.
Yeah.
Up there on a Friday night when the Mariners
clinched
over the Tigers. Mm-hmm. They beat the Tigers. Yeah. And everyone was piled into the concourses watching the Mariners while at the Husky. Yeah. It's things like that. The problem with those are you never know when those are coming, and you really can't plan around them unless that is your team and you have to make sacrifices.
Yes, you do.
In that instance, I feel like Swigard's got a layout of the plans.
And you chose a Timbers playoff game?
But I was at dinner and I didn't feel... At Lorehouse Market, wonderful dinner.
You didn't feel right, did you?
I did not feel right at all.
No.
Because once it started getting good, my phone's blowing up. I'm like, oh man, what am I missing here?
Well, one of my proud... one of my proudest moments as a parent. My daughter was in Chicago when the Cubs won the World Series. Now, Game 7 was in Cleveland. It wasn't at Wrigley. And my daughter, who lived on the outskirts of Wrigleyville, called me and she said, "Dad, my boss said that if I don't come into work for Game 7, I'm fired, but I want to go be outside of Wrigley." You know, they have all the Cubby and Slammer, they have all those bars. And there was like a million people crammed in around Wrigley and they had the big screen set up. And I said, "What are you doing? Quit your job." And she's like, "Really?" I said, "You will not care that you quit your job as a hostess at a sushi restaurant 20 years from now. Quit your job. Tell your boss to cram it. And by the way, he probably won't fire you." And I said, "Go down there." And my daughter sent me a photo from outside. She just said, "I'm somewhere in this." That's what you do. Not, "Hey, Dad, I want to go outside of the of Wrigley, but there's a Chicago Fire game going on across town. Got to catch some MLS action." Swigard. I will never let him hear the end of that, nor should he ever be able to claim again that he is a Dodger fan.
Now, there's
That's pathetic.
There's a larger question here, and it is being brought up on the text line, and I think it needs to be tossed out onto the airwaves here of Portland, Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is that when you are a Cowboys and Dodgers fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you not even a
fan? Are you really a true fan? Because, like, there are certain American sports franchises that people piggyback, and they're not true I'm from their fans.
It's true.
And there are two different fans. It's not that you can't be a fan of the Cowboys. You can't be a fan of the Dodgers. Lakers are certainly one of these. The Yankees are one of these. To some extent, the Packers have a little bit of this. The Steelers have a little bit of this.
Yeah.
Are you, and they say, let's be honest, Swag is not a true sports fan, period. That's why all his teams are fair weather type teams like Dodgers and Cowboys. Dude, I think there's something to that.
It's a dead, look, I'm not saying that he is convicted in the court of sports law right now, but that right there is a damning piece of evidence. The glove does not fit. Or in this case, I think the glove does fit. Therefore, you're not going to acquit. He's Hell guilty. No. Yeah, you said Cowboys and Dodgers alone is bad enough. But this shameful moment here.
Yeah, it kind of proves it. You're right.
It does.
Yeah, I don't want to be too hard on the guy, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Again, you could never do that.
No. Not in a million years.
No.
Not for my team.
No.
All right. So, okay. Now we wrap up our World Series talk. Mad Bum versus Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. I have a comparison.
Yeah, I want to see where this is going, because in my mind, Mad Bum still probably takes it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I want to see the numbers.
I have the numbers.
Okay.
And there's one overriding factor that may mean it's Yamamoto, but we'll hash that out coming up next on The Fan. So Yamamoto versus Madison Bumgarner, because Madison Bumgarner in the 2014 World Series single-handedly won the Giants the World Series.
The Royals were better than the Giants, but they weren't better than the Giants and Madison Bumgarner.
They could not hit Madison Bumgarner.
No.
And, of course, as I famously told the story, I went to two games in that series to watch my team in the World Series for the first time in 30 effing years, and I saw them get mad bummed twice. Yeah. I happened to go to Game 1 and Game 5, F me. I saw two effing hit. No! Yep. No! I saw two hits, both singles, one of them infield, by Alcides Escobar. The other hit off of Bumgarner that I missed, game one, Salvi Perez hit a home run, and I was up getting a beer. And they were already down 7-0.
You spent so much money to go to
God. Madison Bumgarner, hate him for the rest of my life because of that, but you got to respect the
And then he came in and closed it out.
Yeah. So he was also in game seven.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about
him. Was that 2010 or
2015. 2014.
That was 2014. That was the last. Because he was there for the three World Series. So that was the last one.
So I was thinking about him last night compared to Yamamoto.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the numbers. So Madison Bumgarner against the Royals pitched game 1, 5, and 7.
Okay.
He got a 5-inning save in game 7.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
He pitched 5 innings and gave up 2 hits, and they did not score, although they did strand a runner at third base. You may remember the famous Alex Gordon
should have sent him or
went all the way out to the wall.
Yep.
And they stopped him at third.
Yep.
Salvi Perez then popped out, game over. But that was the tying run. It was a 2-1 game. So against the Royals in that series, he pitched 21 innings. He gave up one run. That was the Salvi home run that I happened to miss. He was
hope that beer was tasty.
It wasn't. Yeah. They didn't even have good beer there.
Yeah, that one of those Michelob Ultras. Huh?
Well, the best beer there back then was Blue Moon.
Yeah.
They considered that like the high end beer.
That's craft beer in Kansas City.
So he went 21 innings, gave up one run. He was 2-0 with a 5-inning save in Game 7, and he pitched on 2 days rest. 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay, because he had pitched in Game 5. Yamamoto against the Jays, 17 innings, 2 earned runs, 3-0, and he pitched 2 2/3 innings on 0 days rest.
Yeah.
So he threw 34 pitches and got the final 10 outs.
Mm-hmm.
Or 11 outs, right?
So, yeah, he pitched 2 2/3.
Or, I'm sorry, 8 outs.
Yeah.
Got the final 8 outs. 34 pitches, and he got the final 8 outs the day after throwing 96 pitches to extend the series.
And he was the one guy. Dave Roberts said after that game, everyone is available but Yamamoto.
Yeah, so then he went and started warming up, and he's like, you know, I think I can go.
I think I got this.
Of course, he said that in Japanese.
Yeah.
And then
he went out and did it.
Yeah, so I think that while Bumgarner has the better numbers of the two, although that's a rather small margin. I mean, he gave up one run, Yamamoto two. I think Yamamoto far more impressive because, well, I don't know about far more, but more impressive because 0 days rest. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
He threw 96 pitches and then came out and threw 34 the next day.
Didn't matter.
That does not happen.
No.
And his arm is probably literally falling off right now.
Well,
no one cares.
And they were talking about the Japanese pitchers are very regimented in what they do, and they can be pretty demanding. And I guess when he was warming up previously and they said that he couldn't go, remember, and they were talking like, you know, would he or wouldn't he? They said he had told Dave Roberts, I'm fine to go. I love the fact that someone who's so regimented and they're not usually willing to break that said, I don't care. It's time to go. Although there was part of me when I was towards the end there, when Yamamoto would, because Vlad ripped the double and you were like, oh my God, like this is going to happen. They started warming up. Clayton Kershaw and who else? There was Kershaw and someone else were both warming up. I really wanted Kershaw to come close it. I thought that would have been amazing.
Oh, Sasaki.
Yeah, Sasaki. I thought it would have been incredible. I knew they weren't going to, but how awesome would it have been if Kershaw came in and closed that game out? But it was apropos because, you know, one double play ball and thanks for coming.
Kershaw fat and bloated out there.
He was
I don't know.
He was out today sleeveless saying goodbye to LA after 18 years.
Well, they said Yamamoto has the biggest contract for a pitcher ever in the major leagues. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And he had never pitched in the bigs.
No, he's only been 2 years. 2 years, two world championships, and an MVP.
Yeah. So they said he had led Japan to the Olympic gold back in 2021 or whatever it was.
World Baseball Classic, right?
He led Japan to his own Japanese team to its title,
the Nippon
in 2022. He led Japan to the World Baseball Classic title in 2023, and he has now led the Dodgers to the World Series title in 2025. That's four titles or championships in 5 years.
Actually, I mean, two World Series. I mean, he won.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. He's been here 2 years, two World Series. By the way, Ohtani in his $700 million contract, 2 years, two MVPs, two regular season MVPs, because they win it this year, and two World Series
so
titles.
You can criticize the Japanese signings all you want. Those signings won the Dodgers the World Series.
Yes, and
they
Sasaki,
did.
By the way.
Yes.
You know, there's
without
another guy.
Those guys, they are not back-to-back champions.
No.
They are a dynasty now with three titles in 6 years.
Yes.
It's really incredible.
And I do love how some people are trying to claim that the COVID. We love to do that. We're like, oh, the COVID title. I heard someone, one of the national guys, I forget who it was saying, well, if they lose this one to the Blue Jays, are they the Braves? You're like, oh, the Braves? Yeah, those great Braves team won one. And we're like, well, the Dodgers won two. And he was like, well, not really. They've won one. Like,
well, what? When the Dodgers and Lakers win during the COVID
year,
we don't count it.
No one wants counties.
But if it were the Marlins and the...
Sure as hell. I'll tell you what, if the Blazers had won the COVID championship, guaranteed we would have the damn parade.
I don't know if the Jays ever recover from that. I'm just going to be honest. That was an all-time gut punch.
It's brutal.
Dude.
But They're good. They're young.
Can we also talk about Ernie Clement?
Yeah, we can talk about Ernie.
I mean, we don't need to talk much about Ernie Clement.
Your new favorite player?
Dude, how good was that guy?
What, he hit 500 or something?
They said that he had the most hits in any postseason ever.
Ever.
And then, I don't know if you noticed, and it will kind of go unnoticed, but I think twice in that game, he laced one that would have won the game.
Yes.
And it ended up just getting run down. He hit the one, I think he hit the one that Pajes caught out on the warning.
He may have the one that kind of got, that almost fumbled around.
But I just, dude.
Yeah, 30 playoff hits.
Who is that guy? And where did he come from?
I think
from?
He came from Cleveland. I think he was an Indian.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I would say so. 30 hits, yeah. At some point, they flashed, I think he was hitting like 489. In that series. By the way, he hit .277 this year, 9 home runs, 50 RBI.
even as star-studded as the Dodgers are, there's always an end of the bench guy.
Yeah.
Who comes through, like theirs was Miguel Rojas.
Yes. Who, by the way, I'll be honest, when they put him in, was it game 5 that they made the switch? 5 or 6 that they inserted him in the starting lineup. And before that, the only time I had seen him is he came in to bunt. And I kind of thought he was...
And it was a hell of a bunt.
It was a hell of a bunt. But my first thought was, because I didn't know who he was, they brought him in to play second base. My first thought was, he's kind of fat to be a second baseman, is he not? And yet, his fat ass got up there
had hit a home run against a righty one time. Once.
There you go.
And he went yard... What was that? Was it two out? One out?
Yeah, that was their last at bat. I think that was it.
Well, I know, but it was there two out or one out?
I think there was two outs.
It was in the ninth.
I think he was their last at bat, if I'm not mistaken.
Two outs in the ninth? There was one out.
Was there one out?
Hoffman had to get two more outs, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll take a look.
But, dude, as unsung heroes go, no-name heroes go.
There's always a Luis Soho.
There's always, yes. Like, I remember Edgar Renteria for the Marlins.
Yeah.
I remember Buddy Biancalana for my Royals in 1985.
So was somebody.
I remember David Eckstein for the Angels. He won the MVP. Mm-hmm. I remember David Fries for the Cardinals.
And you're right. There was only one out. Kiki struck out, and then Rojas homered. And then Otani hit one to the track, too.
Yeah.
When he hit that, and then Will Smith struck out.
Classic World Series.
Phenomenal.
Sorry, Jays. But you can suck it. Our Dodgers win again.
Unlike Swag's Dodgers.
All right, coming up, we got to move into our college football custard.
Oh, all right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it wasn't a great weekend, but we'll talk.
Oh, I thought it was.
Did you?
I always do. I always think it's way better than you do. Are you not a college? Are you a fake college football fan?
I'm the Jason Swigart of college football.
Are you
football
like
fans?
Jason Swigart of college football?
It was not a great weekend of college football, but we'll talk.
Well, I enjoyed it. Okay. And yes, we will talk, you son of a bitch. That's coming up next hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.